What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Life After High School, the number one resource podcast in the entire world. I wouldn't say this to you guys if it was not purely factual. Brought to you by me, Glenn YG. I am your host and the man behind the microphone. Each week, we look to drop a new episode, so make sure you guys subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to also follow the podcast on social media at Life After High School 1. We've got a killer episode for you guys this week, so without further ado, let's dive right into it. Cue that intro, baby.
It's the Life After High School podcast.
Chris, man, it's been a minute. So I'm grateful you hit me up to do this and to chat about the speed project and stuff like that and dive into that. But before we do, I want to give you some flowers to grease the wheels a bit before we dive into it. What had happened was I want to thank you for the advice you gave me months ago last summer at 5 Cent City, where I got thrown into an opportunity to work and host alongside a bunch of people that I love and have a special place in my heart for the community and the project that it is. And I wasn't, the first couple times I had to introduce people, it was like weird and awkward, and I was like, hey, how do I go about doing this? And then you gave me really good advice that just made the rest of the day a lot more like, I can breathe now. And I just was I remember being less stressed about it. And we could leave the advice between us, but yeah, I wanted to thank you for that, because then it kind of set the tone for my relationship with the people, a part of that group and stuff like that moving forward and at the event. And I really, yeah, man. So I'm just grateful you're here, and I'm grateful for that. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this.
You're welcome, man. And that advice is just, it's something simple. And why I love to tell everyone that in a public speaking setting is that it just allows you to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say that it takes the pressure off, it's like, it's because there is none.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a rad dude baseline. So like, let that shine and speak from the heart. And it's just easier to live life in a way that is that natural.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So let's dive into it, dude.
I'm stoked. And thank you for letting me come here and chat, because
best place to do it, brother.
It's been a week today that we wrapped up.
Yeah.
That we wrapped up. And all week long I've just been like thinking back on my time in the desert and that trip, and just, it's been take me back vibes like all weekend, so I'm happy to be able to like relive it with you.
Yeah, you seem pretty excited, like getting me on the phone for this. So let's dive into it. So I noticed your hat. I noticed, like, let's dive into it. What the speed project, correct? Yeah. Let's talk about first, for people who don't know, what is it? Let's start from zero.
What is it? So it's a 540 kilometer race, foot race from Los Angeles to Las Vegas.
Epic.
Through the Mojave Desert, and there are teams of up to 12. We had a team of 7. There is a contingent of people that run this solo. So 540 kilometers solo with a crew.
Yeah.
There was one gentleman this year and he ran it last year. I don't know how many he's done, but he runs this unsupported.
What?
So it's just him.
He's just, all right, today's the day.
It's just him. He has like a tent in his pack and some snacks and stuff, and he hammers down.
Just takes and off, eh?
Gets food or supplies along the way, and we'll see you in Vegas. One lady, Lucy, who ran it, she was a record holder up until this year, until it got broken by a dude named Aaron. So 75 hours is a record right now, solo. She ran there solo, so they leave Monday night, we leave Friday. Mm-hmm. So she ran LA to Vegas solo, 80 something hours.
Gross.
Drives back with her crew and does it in a relay.
Stop.
What we did.
On the Friday.
Ran twice. There was one team, Girl Lab, who ran to LA and back.
What?
I mean, to Vegas and then back to LA, ran it both ways. 1,000 kilometers. Over 1,000 kilometers.
Jeez. Dude, those are the people.
Yeah, it's just good rad, dude. It's just a wildness. There's no like, There's a prescribed route that people have got to know, but it's hashtag no rules.
Yeah, I noticed that one.
The one rule is, ironically, there's one rule, and it's no running on freeways because that's a violation of state law.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So other than that, it's get your ass to Vegas.
Yeah, it's just get there. You run through Death Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, and on the Friday night, right in the middle of the desert, is this like desert rave slash barbecue.
When you were running, you ran like through the middle of the night, eh? Like you specifically, yeah.
Yeah. We all had night runs, yeah, because the team does not stop moving. Mm-hmm. So we had, like I said, there's
a
7-person relay or 12-person or whatever. So one person is always running, and then the rest of the people are in the RV. At the next spot.
Wow.
Like where we're going to be transitioning.
Okay, so I want to ask before we dive in, before we back it up, I do want to ask when I mentioned the question about at night, why I asked is I'm like running through the middle of the night in the desert. Mm-hmm. What were the stars like?
Absolutely incredible.
Because that's the thing that I'm like, oh man, that's darkness.
Dude, it is as darkness could possibly be.
If you shut off your light on your headlamp, you can't see your hand. No. And, yeah.
Because there's, unless it's the moonlight and the stars.
Yeah, in which case, yeah.
But the view, it's one of those things, you know, too, where like you take your phone out to take a picture because you're like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. And you're looking in your screen, you're like,
this won't do it.
Yeah, like yeah. I'm not even going to take this picture because it's just
got to be lived. Yeah. What the?
Just cannot capture what I'm looking at right now. It's just panoramic, like 360 degrees of everywhere. It's just
the phone wouldn't
and work. Mountains.
Yeah,
mountains like crazy. Snow caps even.
It's weird because I don't know the state's mapping very well, but I know ours. And it's very similar in terms of like how it's all set up, but I do know like what I'd imagine. California, I know, has mountains. And I know how it kind of goes in. I'm curious. Yeah, it's weird. If you've ever seen like a topographical map of the states and how you can see some spots are up and then there's nothing in the middle, just like Canada.
Yeah.
And then right below Ontario and Quebec, you have the Adirondacks in upper state New York. Yeah. And you're like, huh, how did all this happen? So that's cool though. That's wild. What I kind of want to back up about is when did you first hear about the race and kind of how? So take us through that intro.
Yeah, so I got invited to participate by a friend her name's Casey Gallo.
Oh, nice.
She was part of like the very first like team relay.
Oh, geez.
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so she hit me up and she asked me to be a part of it. I was running a ton, but she also, it's also special because she brought me on as like the Mo specialist, like bringing the energy and positivity and
needed that gap a bit.
Well, you need that, man. Like it's in with this event, with this race, it's just as much, if not more, of like a mental and emotional effort than it is as it is a physical one. So like the vibes have to be right in the van because that energy and that vibe is what is going to be your baseline. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
And you have to be able to lean on each other as a team. And further to the point of, so I knew Casey, there was two ladies, Nikki and Maddie, who knew each other. Mm-hmm. And then Migs and Ahmed knew each other.
Right.
But the rest of us were like new to each other.
How many people on the team said five?
There were seven runners, like, and our crew chief.
Oh, okay.
/ mama hen, Nikki. I love you, Nikki. Shout out Nikki.
Nikki knows.
So the seven runners plus Nikki as our crew, who drove almost all but 5 hours of the 49-hour journey. Because our second crew member got caught up in Vancouver and with flights and stuff and cancellations. Lame. Wasn't able to make it. But
that's a wild drive.
Yeah.
That's a fun drive.
So so we were all, like, Casey was the core and, like, kind of brought us all together. Colin was from Calgary.
Nice.
So we had Calgary, Sudbury, and Toronto.
Oh, big three.
Yeah.
Sick. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Casey brought us all together, and it was Like, she is an invaluable asset. Not only is she an absolute beast runner, like, she's been running for Nike for like a decade plus. So not only is she a beast runner, but she's done it like 4 times. So she's like,
she has very experience.
Well versed in routes and what to expect and like inside information and stuff.
Ew, that's cool. How long ago did you say this was? Like, when did you first get introduced?
Middle of December, like kind of end of November. She talked to me about it, and then we started training. The training block started mid-December.
What did that training plan look like? Like, did she approach you and say, hey, we're going to train together, or these are the miles you hit? Because you had mentioned a few minutes ago that you had been running already, but what did the shift look like from already running to running to prepare with this goal?
Yeah, so way different. Like, when I was just running, I was like once or twice a week just to make sure I keep my fitness up. Because before this year, I would go through like a hibernation over the winter. Like, I do my run off the grid in Mattawa at the end of September, the trifecta in Blue Mountain at the end of October, and then I basically like
that's the ending of your season.
Shut her down until spring, and then I start running again. Yeah. So, but I was like keeping it up a little bit. And then she said this and I was like, yes.
Hell yeah.
And she put me on a block. She put me on a plan. And that started at 40 kilometers a week and peaked at 70 kilometers a week.
Oh, wow.
With several, also strength workouts in there too.
Brutal. Brutal. Nice. Now my question
I did 87 in 2 days.
That's how it goes, eh? That's how it goes. And back to back, I want to ask you a question, but I want to ask it and then circle back to something. So what was the longest distance you ran at once?
Like, 11 kilometers, 11 and change.
Okay, nice.
That was a night one.
Yeah?
That was a night one.
That's exciting. For some reason, I thought you were going to run like 100K yourself and like each broke it up into like 100, but I don't know why I was thinking that.
Well, because I originally thought I was going to do 100, but it was a more even distribution than we had originally thought.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone cracked 100. Like, that's how even it was. Casey might have cracked 100. She ran a ton. But, it was 87 kilometers. And so by the end, dude, we were just rolling twos because it was short enough that we could like still give her.
Yeah.
But also not have to recover for too long. Like, there's recovery time, but not freeze up.
You had to be smart about it.
But not freeze up. Like, don't want to sit for 2.5 hours at the end of the game. Like,
no, you don't have, you run 40 in there and everybody, you have to be smart about it. But it was good you had those people that were able to go, this is the way to do it correctly so that we can all be most
efficient. Done them all. Casey's done them all. So it's like, whatever you're saying is the most efficient, that's what we're doing.
Perfect.
And on that second night when we were doing those twos, we had linked up with this other crew, the YS, RSY crew, Run South Yarra. South Yarra. Australian peeps, love these guys. So in the middle of the night, after these crazy encounters with these crazy drivers, absolutely unhinged drivers going into night two, we synced up our RVs. Yeah. So, and we were both running like rolling twos.
Oh,
so every time you jumped out of the RV, you were paired up with another Australian.
Oh, cool.
That you're just like chatting with for 2 kilometers
just
and
gun
you break.
It with, yeah. Nice,
sick.
Dude.
And then we partied with them the whole next day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds like a blast. I'm back to the thing that I really want to highlight is this. When you were going through the training, what was the schedule like? Was it Monday? Like, every day you had to run, I imagine. Except for Sunday. So you had to do, like, you spent quite a bit of time during the week running, right? You'd run, what, in the morning sometimes, lunch?
Mornings were basically a write-off for me just because, like, I'm on Matthew mode from, like, when he wakes up till we get the kids out, get Zoe off to school. So lots of lunch runs.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly lunch runs and then some night stuff.
Yeah.
But it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday were like easy / recovery runs. Nice. Tuesday, Thursday was speed. And then
getting quick.
And then Saturday long.
Nice. Okay. Why I asked that is I'm curious, like, you'd answer this. How as a father, you have to be, like you said, you're on Matthew duty until Zoe leaves. And then it's work and then, right, and lunch runs. How do you manage to fit a training schedule like that in for a long haul like that, right, for 86, 87, whatever kilometers, over 80 kilometers in the span of a weekend, right? Mm-hmm. And then how do you manage to do that and train for that and get those runs in while still being the present father you are?
The number one, there are several factors, but the number one factor, and I would be, I try and give her the flowers at every moment I possibly can.
You're remiss not to say.
Is Leslie. I mean, I just flat out would not be able to.
Yeah.
If she didn't understand what this kind of these kind of things meant to me and allowed me to, and had, like, she gives the cover fire on the home front happily, so that I can dedicate a little bit of extra time to making sure that, like, you get this in. Because when I do something like this, I don't want to just do it just to, like, skate by. I want, when I go into it,
I
want to be able to crush it. You know, you're a competitor too. Like, we don't, like, how many times am I going to be able to go run 100 kilometers across the desert? I want to be able to put my best foot forward, especially since it's a relay.
Yeah, you want to make the most of the experience you
can. I want to make the most of the experience of what I can. So, and thank Leslie. Leslie, I love you. For allowing me to commit that time. And then it's just a matter of, so once the time allotment's there, then it's just a matter of committing and staying true to yourself. Having Casey being there as my coach for this block helped a lot because she put a ton of effort into the training program. So like I was like, who am I to not do this, right? She spent the time and the effort to put this together, and she's investing time and energy into me. So I was, that was enough, like being, crushing it for her was also something that helped me push through.
What was your primary, like, cool experience aside, what was your primary motivator to see this through in the beginning? Just like, oh man, this is cool, I'm in?
When Casey told me about it, I was like, this is definitely something that is just super rad and I want to be a part of. But Jesse Itzler, I'm a big fan of Jesse Itzler, and he I forget the word that he calls it. It's a Japanese word, but it's something that it's something big that you do once a year, like a year defining thing.
Yeah. It can be anything.
Yeah, and
Jesse's
and
the man.
Oh, he is.
I'll get him on the show one day.
Oh, dude.
Dude, his year calendar every day, man.
I have that.
Yeah, he had it, and like you buy it from like because I want to make one, but I'm like, I'd rather just buy one like that. Might be a bit easier.
It's cool.
Sorry, we're getting off track.
It sees everything. It's
a Japanese phrase that we can't remember. Yeah.
I really wish I remembered it, but it's a year defining thing.
How long do you think it would take you to find it on your phone?
Super fast.
Okay. I'll cut it out anyway, but because I know what you're talking about. I love Jesse Itzler. Dude, him telling it, I've listened to his him telling David Goggins, living with David Goggins
story. Oh yeah.
Hundreds of times. There's half, like, however many millions of views, half of those are from me. So I'm like, this is the greatest fucking thing ever. His storytelling just does it for
me. A masogi.
What is it?
Yes, masogi.
Misogi.
An ancient Japanese ritual about cleansing and purification.
And it's once a year.
Yeah, that's masogi. Just do it one. Do one big thing a year. So there was that. There was that that was in there. There was just, like, I'm always looking. Also, it provided a really great motivator to train through the winter.
Yeah.
Because now I'm coming into my season, like, primed.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Primed. Just to kind of put myself in a really challenging situation, like a different situation, the fact that I was approached, my running was secondary reason, and, like, just, like, my personality and, like, what I bring to that side of the table, because that is, like, that's like my life's purpose. Right. My life's work is to, like, be a bright light in people's lives. Set an example of how to, like, live life productively.
Right.
And, like, this is a huge kind of stance and platform to do that on.
Yeah. Man, that's cool. I really appreciate you sharing that. because there's something to be said about like putting that challenge on the board, understanding why you're doing it, and then having that deeper reason. Because I was talking to like a world-class strength and conditioning coach for athletes, like combat athletes specifically, right? So fighters, grapplers, kickboxers, mm-hmm. you name it. And like I have the utmost respect for those type of athletes, and hearing him talk about like what motivates those guys, and like the biggest question they ask when they first start training together is the why. And that's kind of my favorite question, like, why'd you do that? Yeah. Like, why? Where does this drive stem from? And so like, oh, it's a cool thing to run in. Because yeah, great, right? But my question for you is off that, where do you go inside you when the days get tough and the smile isn't as bright? Or how do you get that energy? Like, where does that come from?
That and the secret sauce is Evie.
Yeah.
Like that, like I always, that is like.
Do you just look down at your wrist and you pull, like what triggers?
Not the wrist. It's more of just like an omnipresent kind of, like it's an omnipresent feeling where, and kind of like a philosophy of like, despite all the stuff Evie lived through, multiple surgeries, the weekly blood works, the months in the hospital, big puffy chest, puffiness in the face, puffiness everywhere. Despite all of that, that he lived like an absolute giant. Big spirit, big bright eyes, big toothy laughing. Smile. Would drop a hey on everyone he walked by. And we say Evie left a trail of smiles in his wake because every time he would say hi to someone, he would keep walking with his big barrel chest because, you know, cardiac kids have a barrel thorax. Hi! And he'd keep walking and I'd look back and everyone he said hi to would stop and look and smile and watch this kid just stroll.
Oh, man.
Down the hallway of the hospital to go get blood work. So it was going to be a painful ass moment for him.
And he knew.
But he didn't care.
No.
So that is my motivation and that's my inspiration because despite all the stuff he went through, he still lived life like that. Mm. He was a bright shining light. So A, who am I not to?
Yeah, hell B, yeah. Yeah, how hard could...
Right? You, who am I not to give that same energy back? Two, is that when I do inevitably reunite with Everett one day, I want him to be fully proud of me.
Hell yeah.
And three is that Everett's legacy is one of love and light. Mm-hmm. If I let Everett's passing crush me.
Yeah, what does that say?
Then his legacy is not that. His legacy is darkness and destruction.
It. Yeah, man.
And my life's work is to shine Everett's light. So it's like, it's almost like I don't have a choice. So it's not even like it's not even in the, like the realm of possibility. So when I'm asked like, how do you dig deep? It's just like, that's it.
It's done. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that takes a lot of emotional toll.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes the people on the home front kind of bear the brunt of the rebound.
Yeah.
You know?
Unfortunate reality.
It's unfortunate. So that's another reason why I have, like, so much, like, love, deep love in my heart is, like, Leslie's there through thick and thin, and she's just, like, she's my backbone, she's my foundation, and nothing that I do is possible without her, in many ways.
Man, that's awesome. That's beautiful. Nice. I hope she's watched this long. That's awesome. No, dude, I love that. That's really cool. I think there's something to be said for that, and the big thing that I'm curious about, how do you manage, because it does take an emotional toll, we talked about physical training and what that looked like. Did you do any, and I feel weird saying mental training, because like what does that look like? But for you, was the mental training just the increase in the speed, making sure the times, increasing the reps and the steps on the pavement?
Yeah.
When like just the harder the challenge, like doing the harder thing is what forces my mental fortitude, right? Getting through those difficult things. Yeah. You're not sitting there meditating going, my brain is stronger.
I'm not good at meditating.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that I would need to put work into before I jumped into the pool.
What's that look like? Your like the mental aspect, or how do you recover from? Better question: how do you recover from like the emotional toll that might take
of doing the run
both, and having to dig when it's like maybe the weather's not great or maybe my ankle's a bit more swollen. But
I love digging deep. Yeah. The digging deep doesn't rock me emotionally, because I've developed this mentality or this approach or philosophy that when hard shit happens, that's like a bonus,
right?
Because you get to persevere through it.
Hell yeah.
I am getting more out of this than if I didn't. Like when I ran my Spartan trifecta last year, the 21K, it was a monsoon, mud everywhere. It was the first time I had done a Spartan race in not perfect weather. But that was by far my favorite one of them all, because it just felt like we were in battle. Mm. Like you're just mucked up head to toe. You've slid kilometers total down the hill. Like it was disaster. So when we got rain, when we were looking at rain, like bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring on the rain.
We get wet.
Yeah. It's like, what? How? Why is that going to stop you?
Yeah.
If anything, it gave you more of an experience because you had to battle through. So when like preparing mentally is just like you said, put in the work, do the hard work and just look forward to it. Putting in the actual 2 days of grind emotionally and physically, it was just like, bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
You knew you had enough experience in conversations and training to understand.
Hey man, I don't need to have any more hardships thrown upon me to understand. Like I got it. I got it. So the hardships, me and hardships are our homies.
Yeah.
I love hardships. I'm grateful for hardships because hardships create resilience and create growth.
Yeah.
Like I'm a big proponent of the concept of like you don't like getting punched in the face, okay? Whether you go down and turtle and just like take it, or whether you get up and like rise to the occasion, the fact of the matter is still you got punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna change.
It's gonna suck.
Gonna suck either way, but are you gonna grow out of it, or are you gonna get crushed because of it?
Yeah,
right. So that's kind of the way I look at life, is like Evie's gone,
right?
Whether I let it crush me into an oblivion and dig myself into a hole and become a totally different person, or I look at it as a inspiration, as a motivator, as a opportunity to grow and a different way of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm.
Evie's gone either way.
Right.
But look at these. Look at the delta between these two lives.
Yeah.
And what would Evie want?
Right.
Right. And that can be translated across to anything.
Mm-hmm.
That can be, you lose your job. You know, you got relationship problems. You got problems with the kids. You got in a car accident. Whatever your nightmare scenario is, because it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
I have my worst, but my worst isn't your worst or that person's worst, because we all live different lives. But I want to be like a shining beacon to people. Oh shit, like whatever it is, we can get through this. And that's the game.
What I appreciate about your story and where I find the inspiration from you is I have a hard time when, and this could just be me, when I see somebody, like, had you been crushed and then gotten out of the slump and then went back into it and then got out of it and went back into it and just a reoccurring cycle, I find it harder to pull inspiration from your story.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But that's not what I see when I see you, Chris. I see somebody who's, like you had said, gone through all of it and now is, I understand this, I have no choice but to not go back. Or like not be in that, it's not even a thought that occurs, right? It's not in the realm of possibility to like suffer for what's already happened. And what's amazing is that's a choice that you made.
Right.
That's a fucking freaky choice you made. That's a tough one. But
well, and you know what?
You managed it.
Yeah. And to me, I feel like my life is better because of that choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everyone has circumstances and everyone has situations, but I truly believe that it is a choice.
Yeah.
We have a choice, and we owe it to not only ourselves, but the people around us
mm-hmm.
to make that right choice, because the way we treat ourselves and the way that we present and the way that we feel inside, that has an impact on our relationships, our work, our family,
mm-hmm.
our everything. So it's not only taking that backslide,
yeah,
doesn't only affect the person being slid,
mm-hmm.
but it affects everyone around them. So it's like, it's not just in service of myself, it's in service of thereby everyone around me,
mm-hmm.
everyone around us, right? So just gotta remain accountable. It's just another thing to remain accountable to. I mean, doing something for yourself, I feel like there's more opportunity for us to slack on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but when your accountability becomes external,
yeah,
like a training partner, like a coach, like Casey yeah. with the program, like
wasn't letting you slack, man.
If you have someone in the gym that you go work out with, it's yeah. like, how much harder is it to call them up and be like, I'm not making it today, versus just pressing snooze?
I can't tell Mitch
exactly.
Bro. Exactly.
So the external accountability is something that I've always liked, and what the big draw for me for this Speed Project event is that it was a team challenge.
Love that.
I don't know if I'll ever run 100 kilometers on my own.
Right.
But as a team, like, that is my jam. Like, that's where I excel. Like, four-man scramble is way more preferred to me than going out and playing, like, just a round of golf.
Oh, yeah.
Big team guy. And I want to give all of the love and all of the flowers to all of the Desert Roosters. Because other than Casey, I met 6 brand new humans. And Kim, in our final meeting before the race, it was a Zoom meeting,
yeah.
and she's like, the guys, she was the driver for Casey's team last year,
yeah.
she's like, guys, we need to go into this like we've known each other for 20 years,
because yeah.
we're gonna see each other at our highs, we're gonna see each other at our lows, we're gonna go through some shit together. So
Kim,
like
Kim said this?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Kim, it's based on her last name, but friends with Casey. She lives.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Yeah. Nice, dude.
Yeah. And so I went in with that, and I was just like I treated every single one of my teammates like we were just like BFFs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good approach. The team gelled hard.
What was your favorite experience / part of the whole journey? It could be from the beginning of when you found the idea to like even after this episode. Like, what's been like, what's the favorite pinpoint thing?
So I'm gonna say number one has to be meeting the Aussies.
Yeah.
Meeting the South Yara crew. They especially the manner in which we knew them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were all kind of in this like scary / unsettling vibe with all these cars.
Yeah.
And it was like the second night and everyone's on like empty. So pairing up with them and sharing those like challenging dark kilometers together and uplifting each other. And then like just connecting the next day at the pool party. And like, it was just a vibe. It was just a vibe. So the South Yara crew, probably number one, physicality wise, like race wise, the second morning, like my first run, my first daytime run of day two,
mm-hmm.
because overnight on night one, I like my knee was just screaming.
Just jacked up, eh?
It was just so jacked up that my last couple of sunset runs were feeling like I could feel a little tight. And then I had a 4.5 miler, so like a 7 kilometer run through like sand, like soft beach sand. And I just couldn't push anything more than like faster than like a 7-minute kilometer. So it took me forever, and I'm running, I'm like crying, because not, I'm just super emotional, not because of my leg, but right. because I'm like, I'm letting my team down right now.
Yeah.
So I finished my thing, tremendous amount of pain, couldn't, like, just went to sleep, couple of Z's, just feeling super defeated. I woke up in the daytime, it was a trail run again, but I had this ability to just like the pain was still there, but something about the daylight bringing a new hope, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the night runs were like, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, man.
It's painful night runs. So maybe the daytime brought a new hope, but man, I was able to run almost a perfect Christmas tree. Like almost a perfect negative split.
Nice. Start the car.
The whole run, and I had a lot of heavy thoughts during that run, and just kind of used that as like a first kind of like pump up run just to vibe on it. And I built off that for the rest of the day, was able to keep it strong. But at the end of that first run, I'm coming in, there's a photographer in the bushes, and I pulled down my shirt. I touched this right here.
Mm-hmm.
Touch the wings.
He got a snapshot?
He grabbed a picture of that, but he came to the van after. He came to the, like, that was right at the end. Comes to the van. I take off my shirt, and I just point at it. Took a snap. He sent it to me on Friday.
Come on.
It's such a good, like, he put it black and white. I'm like,
amazing. He's like, dude, this is the sick. You got to frame it.
I got to.
You got to frame it, man.
Especially with the conversation that I had with myself in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everything that kind of transpired, that was the TSN turning point of like the whole race for me.
Yeah.
I went from like my lowest to my highest
in
the course of that 11 kilometer stretch.
Yeah.
So for him to snap that pic right at the end of it,
bro,
it's like,
I kind of just full, that's a really cool more full than circle
picture.
Moment.
Yeah. It's more than a picture. It's like a moment in time. It's like,
wow.
Yes. Yeah, cool.
Dude, that's been something a lot, like a handful of friends of mine and I have been like into lately, is like physical copies of photos that I've taken. Cause we all take, like, taking photos now, it seems so easy to do, and it's taken for granted almost.
I agree.
Like,
yeah.
Physical.
I hear you.
Like capture moment in time where like you said it right, where it's, you have those like star, not taking a photo of that. You're like, might as well just enjoy it. Right. I think those moments in time that we're able to go back to in a photo. And
you need to bring back the photo album, like the
physical photo. Bring back the physical photo. Dude, I had my buddy who I ran the Ottawa Marathon with. You can attest to this. Like, ever since I've ran a marathon, I try every now and then. Well, him specifically, love Devin to death, and him specifically. And we will try to find ways to like insert that into a conversation. Like, yeah, man, we ran a marathon last year. You know, he's like, yeah, just hoping they don't ask more about it, but like we really do. So, anyways, I gave photos of the of us at the finish line with our medals in Ottawa in front of the big banner, a couple finish line banners that they have. I gave those. We printed them out and gave them to like people who are like important, like who physically were there either. Did a run with us or like in the middle of the run or like did treatment and stuff like that. And so I think we need to bring that back. That idea was inspired by our mutual friend Pat, and shout out to Pat, another guy I love to death. And he would give these physical photos of him at like to people who've supported his journey and stuff like that. And
it's a huge way to show show someone
that, sign it.
Yeah. That they meant a lot to what you were doing. Yeah.
Find a way to do something like that. That's something we're trying to bring back.
Great stewardship piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep those relationships burning strong.
Mm-hmm. It's cool to like showcase, be like, hey man, this is a wall of me, the things I've done and the cool people I know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really get much better than that.
Right.
How would you like to take all the lessons or a big point you want to hammer home that you took away from this adventure experience, the Speed Project? How would you like to kind of put the exclamation point on what was this conversation and your experience?
Well, I'm gonna say the explanation point behind it all is one word would be community in multiple different facets. The race itself was like it was such a community
It
vibe.
looked like it, yeah.
It like every team was competing against each other, but it was like we were all one big team on this one shared journey. Like there's a group chat for everyone who is participating in the event. There's a WhatsApp chat.
Days.
And that chat was like people letting people know that there was like trouble ahead or a washout or a dog or
Whoa.
things to look out for, road closures, right? So everyone's looking out for each other. Everyone's there for each other. You pass someone in an RV, you pass someone running, you're someone waiting, you're dapping them up. It's you're cheering, everybody's cheering everybody on.
Oh man.
It's like, you know, when you if you you're at the airport, you're out that night, you see someone with a hat or you see someone with
Yeah.
like
Like the badge
the
medallion.
medallion, it's like you can you're everyone's congratulating each other. You just went through this big thing
Yeah.
together, but not together, but
Yeah, but
together.
together.
It was so cool. So that, and number two, community, like my community, our community, the people that were like, there were so many people sending me so much love and like encouragement and commenting on my posts and like sending me shit. And like it
Yeah.
was just having, it felt like an entire city was rallying behind me.
Yeah.
And like so that's cool. So if there was one word I had to put around this, like community with my crew, right? Colm, Migs, Ahmed, Casey, Nikki, Kim, Mad Dog, Maddie Mad Dog. Like those are new
Yeah.
relationships that were forged in such a crazy environment. Like when, like for me to accumulate 72 hours hanging out with someone, think about how long that would take.
It's insane. Yeah.
Think about how long it would to aggregate 72 hours together.
And that's all the time. Sleeping at, yeah. Camping
And
trip.
yeah, so
It's
and we did that as
amazing.
strangers.
Yeah.
So that those relationships are amazing. My Australian friends, like so many, when you're meeting people in this environment, it's like it cuts a little deeper. You know how like camp friends,
Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking of. I was like, oh,
university
yeah.
friends, like five of
Yeah.
my best friends are my university boys, because like you go through when you go through those formative years, formative experiences, adventures of a lifetime with someone, that's a bond that is instantly forged.
Become,
So
yeah.
community, one word, exclamation point.
There's got to be a better way to put it than what I'm thinking of, which is trauma bonding. It kind of, but there's definitely a better way. I'm sure maybe you could think of it. Maybe I'll edit it out. Who knows? But, man.
When you go through a life-defining experience together, you're like that person is etched into your, that person is woven into your fabric.
Yeah. Part of your soul.
Yeah. Etched in
Man, that's
stone, man.
cool.
TSP. My first one ran through the desert with these eight maniacs.
Eight strangers.
Yeah.
Maniacs.
Eight strangers brought together to just run across the desert.
Oh
How can
man.
you not be like best homies now?
Yeah, you kind of have no choice. Like there's always gonna be that, even in 10 years, it's like there's always gonna be
You
that
did
thing.
that thing together, and like I'm gonna get inked. I'm just waiting on Ali to get back to me. But I have a tattoo in mind. Several of others are getting tattoos, so we're literally gonna have like ink that's gonna
Amazing.
commemorate this.
Ah, that's cool. Nice, dude.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
Ink free.
Ink free since 03.
I have
96 doesn't really rhyme with that, so.
96 doesn't rhyme with ink free.
Anything. Either. But, man. No, sorry. But there was part of me that wanted. I've never actually looked at anything ever, except one time, that was cool enough that I thought would be like, you know what, this is cool. I could put this on my body forever. The one thing was I was watching Ross Edgley do his circumnavigating Great Britain swim,
Oh yeah.
and he raced the British Navy. He lost,
He raced the
obviously.
Navy.
Yeah, so like he swam. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't get me started. But they presented him with a medallion, Chris, and the medallion had a a shark, like a tiger shark, with a trident in its mouth, and that was the first and only time I've ever been like, I'd put that as a tattoo. You have to have a moment since. So I was like,
that's what a cool medal.
Yeah, man. It was like in a, it's a plaque on the, yeah, it was like, yeah, he had the medallion on it. I was like, that's nuts.
But I have three tats, and they're all like highly emotional tats. Mm-hmm. Like they're like badges of honor almost.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. I think that's how they should be. But, you know, teach your own, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hell yeah.
But man, you like, that is just as much of a, that's just as much art as anything is.
Mm-hmm.
And for people to want to express that, like, it also goes to show that, like, you got to be really committed to something,
mm-hmm,
to put that on you.
That's cool, man. Absolutely. Do you have anything that you missed, or what are you thinking for, or we just kill it there? I think we hit everything.
Yeah, I think we hit it, man.
Nice. All right. Yeah, so Chris, I'm really grateful you're able to sit down and chat, man, and I'm happy you reached out to me for it.
Oh, wait. One thing.
Uh-oh.
One thing.
All right.
I wanted to make sure I said this. So there is I forget their team name, but there was a team of ladies from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Rarámuri, this like Native American people from Chihuahua, Mexico, okay? They're like an ancient civilization of like running women.
Oh, wild.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they run in these like leather strapped sandals,
mm-hmm,
and these big ornate gowns.
Jesus.
And they came in third place.
Come on.
They crushed. In like dresses.
Yeah.
In like big floofy like ceremonial traditional gowns and leather strapped sandals.
Yeah.
Everyone else is wearing like tech shirts, shoes, running shoes, that. They're just clipping.
Amazing.
Ah.
Yeah, cool. Shout out to them, dude.
Shout out to them. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Nils. Shout out to Jarek and the rest of the Speed Project team for putting together this wacky adventure. You guys, your imagination blows me away. And what you guys challenge us with year in, year out. Looking forward to next year and every year from now until forever, hopefully.
Right on, brother.
Cool, appreciate, dude. You, thanks a lot. Absolutely. Appreciate you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come and chat, man. Yeah, it's been fun, as always.
Let's go.